And there was a great hush. Well, this is really family, so that's nice. We sang the song, "It Will Be Worth It All When We See Jesus." Don't wait for heaven to have it be worth it all, because we can see him now. And even now, when we see Jesus, it makes sense. It's worth it all. It's always a privilege for me to be able to share with you. It's been many, many, many years. The Lord, I had my first relationship with the Lord 64 years ago. That's a long time, and I thank the Lord. So what I want to do this morning, basically, those of you who have been familiar, who attend the Wednesday Bible study, you know I'm studying the Gospel of John, and the Gospel of John is the message of life, life in our Lord Jesus, and he's been really ministering life to me, not just recently, but in these 64 years. And so what I'd like to do, I'm going to put it into the Gospel of John. You might hear some stories that you are familiar with, but I'm sort of going to give my testimony on how the Lord has led me in this message of life. It may agree with the way he's taken you. He may have led you in a different way. But I'm going to take three stories from the Bible, two from John, and sort of weave my testimony, because these stories became epics in my life. And I'll just share my testimony in terms of that. But I thank the Lord and I thank the elders for allowing me this privilege. There is a principle of Bible study that's absolutely indispensable, and that is total reliance on God, the Holy Spirit. He lives in our hearts, and it's always to turn our eyes to the Lord Jesus. I'll share a verse, and then we'll go to prayer together. This is not on the sheet, but it's John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. I came that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The more I go on in the Lord, the more I'm seeing abundant life in Christ. I used to think that all Christians have life, but they don't all have abundant life. I don't believe that anymore. Because life is a person. He has a name. His name is Jesus. And all Christians have Jesus. Abundant life is also a person. His name is Jesus. And all have abundant life. Now, that doesn't mean they all enter into it like we were thinking and praying, and I hope we continue to pray for Kevin Sheets. There was a day when he received the Lord Jesus, and he has it all, and yet entering in is another thing. Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of Christ, our life, and Christ, our abundant life. And I just pray, Lord, as I share these stories and part of my testimony and the way you've led me to the present day, that it might be a blessing as we just share together. Thank you that you're going to guide. I just commit this session, this season of looking into your word unto you. I pray that you'd give liberty, and I just thank you in advance that you've given me this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as I said, there's one message. It's life. It's abundant life. And there's three stories, but one message and one testimony. Let me begin with John 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And then in verse 14, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." I'm not going to spend a lot of time discussing this first story because I think we're all familiar, the woman at the well. Sometimes we call it the Samaritan woman at the well. For our purposes, just recall that she was a very needy woman. She was a fallen woman. And our Lord Jesus, in his great love and grace, met privately with her, with this woman, and offered her, "If you had known the gift of God, who it is who speaks to you, he would give you this living water." To enter into this first part of the testimony, I think it would be helpful to see the contrast that the Holy Spirit is making in this story. There's a contrast between the water in Jacob's well and the water that Jesus wants to give to satisfy thirst. I have studied Greek, and I've become an expert in failing Greek, so I don't know Greek, but I have sources. And we are told by the scholars that there are two different Greek words that are used here. John 4:11, she said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." That expression, the well, that's a different Greek word than later when he says, "I'm going to give you a well springing up." I don't know how even to pronounce it. I think it's phrear is the Greek word. That's not important anyway. But it means a cistern. A cistern which often runs dry. It doesn't have a source. It's not a spring. A cistern. When I was a young Christian, I heard the word cistern, and I thought it was brethren and cistern. But it's not that. That's not it. A cistern is just an artificial reservoir. It's just a receptacle that holds liquid. It can be a jug. It can be a pan, pail, a hole in the ground. It's just something that holds water, but it doesn't keep holding water. It's got to be filled from the outside. And it often runs dry. And a cistern will continually run dry. It depends on the weather. It depends on the rain. It depends on the melting snow. It can be swallowed up in the ground. It can evaporate. It's just water in a cistern. And that's how it began. This woman was coming day by day to a cistern because her pail was never completely full. It kept running dry. She had to keep coming back over and over. And not only was Jacob's well a cistern that often ran dry, but I think her life was a cistern that often ran dry. Her husband's, she was on her sixth man, according to the record. Her life was a cistern, and it seems like she was trying to find satisfaction, and it didn't work. I picture her as an older woman. The Bible doesn't tell us her age, but after five husbands and one adulterous relationship, I think she's past adolescence, and she has experienced life. A great part of her womanhood is past already, and I think her affections were pretty much worn out by this time. Her character is pictured as a fallen woman, an adulterous woman. And when you, Brother Aubrey was saying, when he reads the Bible, he tries to get into the shoes and enter in. And as I meditated on this, I was 16 years old when I first heard the gospel with understanding. This woman, see, we just sort of dive into it. She was a little girl once. And I wonder, as a little girl, if she didn't have dreams, like all little girls. Someday I'll grow up, gonna have a husband, maybe raise a family, have a family. I'm sure these thoughts came into her mind. And then some guy came along and played with her affections. And she was disappointed. And somehow the marriage ended. She said, I'm going to try again. This time, I know it'll work. I'm going to put everything into it. And once again, fell apart. And she tried again. And I think these men were taking advantage of her. And we don't have all of the details, but how many times was her heart broken? And I can just see her determination. It will work this time. And then number five, and it didn't work. And once again, now when the Bible opens, she's already gone past four husbands or five husbands, and she's living in an adulterous relationship. Alone and broken and hard and disillusioned. Discontent, no meaning in her life. The way the record reads, she's being shunned. She's being avoided. No doubt she's very depressed. All of that to say, I have gone to cistern pre-Christian and after a Christian that kept running dry. They didn't satisfy. You see, if it's not Jesus, it's a cistern that'll run dry. There are many expressions. Family is a wonderful expression of satisfaction and fullness. But it'll run dry. Fellowship, church, the body. You were talking about the body. It's wonderful. But that's not the source of our satisfaction. It's not the source of our life. And I remember as a Christian, I got so excited about being saved, and then the next thing you know, I was involved in ministry and in programs and in works and in all kinds of things, and they all run dry. Something must be missing. And I know in my own life, I said, well, I'm going to find out what it is. And I locked myself in a closet. And I said, I'm just going to pray. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to do anything. I stayed there for 3 days. I was in that closet asking the Lord to fill me or to baptize me with the Holy Spirit or give me tongues or whatever. And I got so hungry. I came out of that closet. I didn't get any spiritual blessing that I know of. And I just came out and I said, it was just a cistern. another cistern that ran dry. And you go into these things, you think, well, it's going to help if, you know, if I have success, or if I have a ministry, or if a door opens, or then I start exercising and eating the right food and all of this stuff. Maybe if I can go on a vacation, or I need a rest. Cisterns that run dry. Jesus promised a cistern that would be always full. I love the way Kenneth Weiss translates verse 14. Whoever takes a drink of the water which I shall give him shall positively not thirst, no, never. And we're told that the Greek is actually not even into eternity. There's a big difference between having that figure of speech. A well of water, that's the Greek word pege. That is a spring. He's going to come in and in you, bubbling over, being full at all times, in all places, in every circumstance. I experienced that. Now we're into my testimony. I experienced Christ. I'm his temple. He lives in me. Other things dry up, but that was the first stage, that Christ lives in me. I'm his temple. The God of heaven lives in me. The God of heaven lives in you. I pray that the wonder of this will capture your heart. Christ lives in you. Look at yourself as you are, and then take a look at yourself as you once were, and as thousands still are, without Christ. But now he lives inside of you. I think that's one of the most glorious pieces of workmanship God ever did, to allow Christ to come and live in us. I know who I am. My natural heart is so dirty and filthy, and he's come to live in me. A wonder of wonders that he would choose to live in me. Anyone in this room, it's an amazing thing if Christ would live in you. I know me. And I think it takes my breath away when I think that I'm his temple. I know what I was, where I would be today if it weren't for Christ, who has rescued me. The next part of my testimony, the first part is, I discovered Christ in me. A fountain, living, satisfaction, fullness, running over on all sides, at all times. That was my first wonderful discovery. But the Lord took me on. Amazing thing happened when this woman received that satisfying water, that living water. John 4:39. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all things that I've done. And when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them. He stayed there 2 days. Many more believed in him because of his word. They were saying to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe. We've heard for ourselves. We know this one is indeed the Savior of the world. My first experience was Christ lives in me. But then, like this woman, I thought, wow, there's people out there that need the Lord. They're unsaved. And like she went out and Now she wants to tell everybody. And people are coming to the Lord through her. And that was the next stage. Not only a fountain within, but I felt like I got to release that life. There are others out there that need it. At first, he satisfied my thirst, but then I saw people with thirst. And so I needed to get out, which I did. Jesus lives in me. I'm his temple. That's life. But I don't think it's what he meant, abundant life. It's a wonderful beginning. The second stage, I was focused because of, like this woman, more on missions and ministry and programs and evangelism and soul winning. And I'm not knocking that. I'm saying that's part of knowing the Lord. This is the way he takes you. But I think I needed to go further than that. Life in me, that's a great thing. And then his life through me, that's a great thing too. I want to show you where he's brought me and I am at the present day. I'm not suggesting I've arrived anywhere. I expect more new dimensions in Christ as I go on. But I think there are three parts to at least the light I have now on abundant life. Part one is Christ lives in me and satisfies me to the full. It's a spring I can carry with me. I can go wherever I go. I can go to the nursing home. I can go to the hospital. I can go visit a friend. It's in me. Christ in me. And then Christ through me. He wants to manifest his life. But to take you to this third step, I don't like step, this third experience, where I am, and I'm not even suggesting that God wants that for you. Yes, I am. Anyway, it's from Ezekiel, the story in Ezekiel, and it's chapter 47. It's the first 12 verses. I'm not going to read it all, but I'll describe it. It's a picture, by the way, if you call it stage one and stage two, that never goes away. He still is in you. He still is flowing through you. And here is a picture of a temple in these first 12 verses. And that's you. I'm the temple of the Lord. You're the temple of the Lord. We are the temple of the Lord. And I don't have to quote verses to prove to this group that Christ lives in you. And you're his temple. And even though I've only begun to see it, it's true. Listen to verse 1 of chapter 47. He brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east. And the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from the south of the altar. He lives in me. In Ezekiel's vision, the temple couldn't hold the life, the water that was in him. It's a strange river that we read about in Ezekiel 47. An angel came and took Ezekiel. These verses, they're not really listed there, but trust me on it. In verse 3, the angel took Ezekiel into the water, and the Bible says he was up to his ankles. And then the Bible says the angel took him a quarter of a mile down the river, and he was up to his knees. And then the Bible says the angel took him another quarter of a mile, and he was up to his loins. And then the Bible says the angel took him another quarter mile. He's gone deeper. And that was my experience. I want to go deeper and deeper. What is this that's flowing? It's water. It's life. It's Christ. I want to go deeper and deeper into the life of Christ. And then finally in verse 5, it says, water to swim in. Water that could not be forded. I was up to my ankles. I'm up to my knees. I'm up to my loins. I'm up to my chin. And all of a sudden, it's water that can't be forded. Deeper and deeper. Like I said, this is a strange river. Because there are no tributaries. There's no brooks running into it. There's no rivers. There's no streams. It's just growing deeper and deeper and deeper. With no tributaries coming in. It's the life of God flowing out of his temple. And I think the key to this story for my life was verse 6. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? And he brought me back to the bank of the river. When he was in the water, now this is, I'm going to weave my testimony in. When he was in the water up to his ankles and to his knees and to his loins and later on to his chin, part of it was this great desire that I had. I want to know more. I got to go deeper. And I got involved, which was in what was called the deeper life. So now I'm going into the deeper life. Off to Bible school. Study. Prayer. I couldn't make seminary. But I went off to Bible school. Tried Greek. Tried Hebrew. Tried Aramaic. I got to go deeper. And so the Lord gave me a huge library. Now I'm into the commentary. And I'm reading all of it every day. And Lillian will tell you, sometimes 6 and 7 hours a day. I just read. I read. Because I want to go deeper. I want to go deeper. But after a while, I found myself treading water. I got so deep, I had to swim over my head. When we lived in Rhode Island, we were right on the ocean. And there was one particular day I got caught in crashing surf, and I couldn't get up. I couldn't get up. It hit me, and I'm down, and I get up, and I'm hit again, and I'm rolling over, and I'm gasping for breath. I got caught in undertow, too. That's another story. But this crashing surf, over and over, and finally, I was so glad when I got to the shore. Ezekiel, that's what happened. Ezekiel was up to his ankles and then to his knees, and he walks, and he's going deeper, and it's wonderful. Because now I have answers. You want to know about election? Come, I'll tell you. I'm deep. I'm going deep. You want to know about predestination? I'll tell you about that. If you had visited my home when I was up to my ankles, of course, I'd be standing there so proud. We didn't have wallpaper. You know what we had? My chart. My chart started at one end of the wall. It went all the way around and came all the way to the other end of the wall. And it was the purposes of God. From eternity past to eternity future, I had it down. When I was at my ankles, I was pretty solid. And I knew everything and I had it all. You want to know when Christ is coming back? You want to know about the tribulation? You want to know about the millennium? You want to know about the future? I can tell you about the judgments. Look at there on the wall. It's all. And I was standing there today. Everybody walk around looking at my chart. I was pretty stable when I was ankle deep. And I got up to my knees. Not so stable. When I got up to my loins, I'm having trouble balancing. myself. And by the time I was up to my chin, water to swim in. It was over my head. I thought, oh, I'd be a great counselor. Let people come. I could give them all the answers because I'm in the deep. I'll tell you, I came to see that the flow of the life of God was so powerful and so swift and so mighty, it was killing me. I felt a lot more stable as a young Christian in the things of God than when I got deeper. Then all I had, well, I'm just trying to stay alive. I'm just trying to survive. It was all about me. I don't know where you are, up to your ankles or up to your knees or up to your loins or up to your head. But I know there's a glorious day when God in His grace actually took Ezekiel out of the water and he stood on the shore. And God said, now you just view from the shore and watch the light. It's still Ezekiel because the temple's still there. That's part of him. It's coming out of him. It's still Ezekiel. Now he's viewing life from the shore. He's watching what God is doing. He's not trying to explain it. He's not trying to stabilize himself. He's not trying to stand up. He's not trying to go deeper. He's just amazed at what God is doing through him. He's just living. He's standing on the shore and just living. Verse 8. He said to me, these waters go out toward the eastern region, go down into the Arabah. And when they go down toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, the waters became fresh. Do you understand what that's saying? Those waters from the temple flowed down to the Dead Sea, 1,300 feet below sea level. The lowest spot on the planet. It went down to the Dead Sea. Verse 10. It'll come about that the fishermen will stand beside it from En-Gedi to En-Eglion. And there will be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be according to their kinds, like the fish of the great sea, very many. This living water flowed down to the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea became alive. And communities of fishermen gathered all around the Dead Sea, and that became a place, fish as many as were in the Mediterranean Sea. I would suggest that's abundant life. Life and more abundantly. And the glory when Christ lived in me. And when I was very active and water was flowing through me. And then I was going deeper and deeper into the things of God. And then he picked me up. And he stood me on the shore. He says, don't try to understand my life. It's too big. It's too much. Just watch what I will do through you. That call that comes on the phone, that interruption that comes, that sickness that comes, doesn't matter anymore. John 7:37, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost beings will flow rivers of living water. Ezekiel 47:9, it will come about every living creature that swarms in every place where the river goes will live. It's a new life for me now. I'm not saying I've arrived. I don't know what tomorrow is. I'm thinking the next step's glory. I have no idea. I don't really care anymore because I'm on the shore and I'm watching what God is doing. It takes my breath away. I don't understand it. I don't know where you are and if God's going to lead you in the same way. But I'll tell you what, since the Lord has begun to allow me to be a spectator, just to observe, not to try to figure, I don't know what's going on. I'm losing my mind. I don't know what's going on. And I don't mean this to sound in the wrong way, but I don't care anymore because everything's redemptive. And I think the one evangelical duty I have now is to abide in the vine. I'm not trying to be fruitful anymore. I used to try to be fruitful. I'm just going to abide in the vine. I'm just going to stand and keep looking to Jesus and know Jesus. And I want to know him more and more. That's going to take me deeper. That's going to fill me with satisfaction. That's going to reach those who are needy. That doesn't go away. But now, it's the Lord. And the Lord is doing it. And the Lord is doing it. Let me read a couple verses and then we'll be done. I lost them. I don't have the. They're the ones that say that he looked down the river and the trees were blooming and blossoming. Just and he describes what we're going to see in heaven. That's heaven on earth. So that's what I wanted to share. Believe it with all your heart. You're his temple, and he lives in you. Believe it with all your heart. He wants to manifest his life through you. And believe it with all your heart. You can't handle the life of God. You better let him take you out and put you on the shore, or you're going to drown. You're going to drown trying to explain things and understand things. Get out of the water and know I could go right around in each one of you. You don't, Doug, I'm going to use you. You don't have a clue how he's using your life. You don't have a clue. You know a few things. But I promise you, the life of God is flowing through you to the Dead Sea. And it's going to make it alive again. Oh, may God give us life and life abundant. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit who helps us to see the Lord Jesus. And I just pray, Lord, whatever you've inspired abundant life to mean, that you might take each one of us, your children, into the glorious truth of life abundant. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.